Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Let's start off with a blurb on the Supreme Court race, the most important issue right now facing Wisconsin, coming up on April 4th, 5 weeks from this coming Tuesday, April 4th. I was very glad to see Judge Janet Protasiewicz, my candidate, and I think the only one that's going to restore American democracy to Wisconsin, made an announcement, and she said that she will recuse herself and not rule on any case in which the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is a party. That's very smart. She's doing that. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin is and will be spending money to promote her. And if they are a party, she simply is not going to participate. On the other hand, this Dan Kelly, who is not only getting millions of dollars from the Republican Party directly, but also using facilities, and he did in his last campaign, said, no, I'm not going to recuse myself if the Republican Party, is a party to the case. I'll just think about it in each case. And of course, in each case, he'll stay on and rule in their favor. So Gableman did. Gableman got $1 million from the Manufacturers Association when he ran a long time ago and came up in front of him whether the manufacturer tax exemption was constitutional. It's not. But four of them, four Republican justices said it was, and he wouldn't recuse himself. And here's a dirty little secret. There is no rule, black letter rule, on when they have to recuse themselves. It's up to them. And if you appeal to the whole court to throw them off, they never will because they protect each other. Just like with the U.S. Supreme Court, there's no code of ethics for the U.S. Supreme Court. Clarence Thomas ruled on a case to protect his own wife, Ginny Thomas, when the issue came up on whether or not her emails and texts should be responsive to a subpoena. And this has got to stop. These clowns in the highest judicial positions in the state and the country have got to be subjected to what we're all subjected to, which are laws and regulations and codes of conduct, and in this case, recusal. So Janet Protasiewicz, up front, she volunteered it. She said, if the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is a party, I will not recuse myself. I will recuse myself. Dan Kelly said, if the Republican Party is a party, he will not recuse himself. Maybe he will, wink, wink, wink. He'll think about it, yawn, yawn, yawn. Now, each of them have values, and so Janet Protasiewicz is certainly going to rule on any case involving, for instance, gerrymandering, involving who should be certified as the winner in 2024. She said she will certify whoever won it. And on the 1849 statute, she's made it very clear. It's 174 years old. Women couldn't vote on it. It's unconstitutional. Let's bring on a new statute of some sort. Then you have Dan Kelly, who says, I'm going to vote on gerrymandering. I'm going to say it's fine, it's political, and stay away from it. I'll vote on the 1849 statute. I'll say, yeah, it's fine. It's only 174 years old. It's not like it's 1,000 years old. That's what he says. But the clown also, even if the Republican Party is a party, will rule in their favor for them, too. That's not right. And he's flat out admitting it. So it's about time that everybody paid attention to this. And the other thing that continues to slay me, and you hear it in news briefs and everything else, is that he's a conservative. Janet's a liberal on these issues. The fact of the matter is that Janet will be a great judge, but this is not a fight between conservative and liberal. Kelly's not a conservative. It's a fight between commie government and American democracy. No conservative, no true conservative would say, I am going to vote to certify Trump even if Biden wins. No conservative would say that. And no conservative would say, I'm going to vote for gerrymandered districts, which basically jiggle everything and jiggle the lines so that the minority party gets two-thirds of the legislature. That's commie government. Directing the victory to the guy who lost is commie government. It's not conservative government. And Janet Protasiewicz is standing tall for American democracy. Now, here's another one that has burned me for a long time, and now there's an update. The bill to taxpayers for the fake Gableman fraud inquiry. Gableman lumbered around the state. And by the way, Dan Kelly went with him in a lot of places because he was out of work because he got beaten in the last election, and he was lying in the weeds plotting his return. And they all show up, both of them, at Republican Party meetings around the state, and they go, any fraud up here? And, well, I guess not. Okay, well, that'll be 11 grand a month or whatever, whatever. People used to call into the show, and Matt, and they go, Matt, it's going to cost $1 million to the taxpayers. El Rongo, guess how much it's cost to date? To date. $2.5 million taxpayer money. Voss just got nailed with a $135,000 judgment by a judge who said that he committed misconduct by not responding to a request under the open records law. And he had to pay the legal fees of the party that wanted it. $135,574. Guess what? You're paying for it. So am I. He chuckled. Ooh, that stings, he said. Ha-ha, that stings. You know, they are treating taxpayer money like a piggy bank, like a slush fund. Evers doesn't get a chance to veto it. This is not an appropriation where Democrats and Republicans debate it. They've set up a procedure where Voss can dip into the old weasel sack and grab out whatever he wants. This is our tax money and my tax money and your tax money. Then Voss says he is going to appeal the $135,574 judgment for legal fees. And Gableman is defending himself in a couple of misconduct cases, one in which he insulted a female lawyer, calling into question, you know, the gender issue, and suggested that maybe she was going into the judge's chambers on her own. And you're paying for all that. I'm paying for all that. You're paying those legal fees. To appeal a $135,000 judgment at the kind of rates these people charge will cost $135,000, even if they're unsuccessful. They're stacking money on money. The Republican Party cannot be trusted with money. They cannot be trusted with money. They truly don't care about taxpayer money. $2.5 million so far. Because Voss wanted to appease Trump. What am I talking about? Well, back a couple of years ago, Trump said that the election had been stolen in Wisconsin. Voss was afraid he'd campaign against Voss, which he ultimately did. And this guy, Adam Steen, almost knocked Voss off. Voss trembled in his boots. Another clown in the state Senate. I never can figure out the difference between Kunyenga, Kapenga. They're both Engas, okay? It was one of them. Said he was but a bobby pin to Thor's hammer in Trump's hands and that he wore Trump's face on his socks. This is really pathetic stuff, okay? I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. This is super pathetic. These clowns. So they go, they hire Gableman, who's unemployed for obvious reasons. I mean, and he said, well, I don't know much about elections. So he went to the New Berlin Library and bone up on it. On a public computer because he couldn't afford a computer. Well, for the love of Pete, if you're going to do a crooked deal like this, grab taxpayer money, what does a computer cost? If you go to like Best Buy or Costco or something, you know, I mean, what does it cost? What, $500, $1,000, $2,000? You know what? And he goes to a public computer. No one cares about security because. If he wants to learn about elections, he could have gone and he audited a course in one of the UW campuses, Elections 101. Oh, that's what they are, he goes. Well, then the clown lumbers around the state, finds no fraud. They think Trump is appeased. Trump isn't appeased. You don't appease Trump. You don't appease Trump. We're going to quick to the lines. Jack, my friend, Jack of Merrimack. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
Yeah, these Republicans are a real piece of work in terms of accountability. They have not. These are the guys that are demanding accountability for instance, the city of Milwaukee to put some of their services into private hands before they'll even consider making shared revenue with the city. These are the people that are demanding accountability from our schools that they wouldn't give money to, so that some of the schools had to float bond referenda just to open the doors. Unbelievable, unbelievable, and there's no consequence. We've got to get Janet Protasiewicz in. There's no question on that.
Right.
That's my rant for the day.
Yeah, no, no, Jack, you're right on the money. And the truth of the matter is, with gerrymander, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Lord Acton, 19th century, and it's right. If you have absolute power, you're corrupted, totally. He has a slush fund. It's called the taxpayer dollars. Right now, the budget, the biennial is, what, a 90-some-odd billion. He figures nobody will notice $2.5 million. I noticed $2.5 million. I mean, you're not going to pay $2.5 million in taxes the rest of your life to Wisconsin. And it goes right down the drain to these by these characters. And he blew off and was untruthful about open records, 135 grand, no problem, no problem. He dips into the weasel sack and grabs out 135 grand. What, Gableman's been sued a couple of times, being disciplined. He needs lawyers. They charge a lot of money. No problem, no problem. There should be a problem. Evers should be able to veto this. He doesn't have a chance to veto it. This thing should be looked at in the daylight by committees. It isn't. These guys dip into taxpayer money, and they're doing it right now, and this is going to go on well over $3 million because right now they've hired a lot of lawyers. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Well, to be quite honest, I haven't gotten my arms around losing to Ron Johnson. So whatever else happens, we can't lose this Supreme Court justice race because it's probably more important than the Senate race, because the Republicans, you forgot one thing, they haven't taken the Medicaid money, of course, the real money, we all know about that, Foxconn, and you can get right down the list, and the Gableman thing, and Kelly's involved in this, is probably going to go well over $3 million, maybe even hit as close to $4 million, and that's not chump change. So I'm glad that Janet is advertising on the civic media. That's a step in the right direction. And I really, really think she's going to win this because Kelly is involved in all this corruption. I mean, it's you just can't have a guy like this on the Supreme Court. I mean, it's just we have to get out and save Wisconsin. That's what it comes down to. So I just can't quit harping on this because I want to live in a state that has fair maps and people have to sit down and hash over what we want to do instead of just jamming things down our throat like Boss does. So with that, I'll let you go, Matt, and thanks for letting me talk today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Paul. Yeah, let me build on that real quick before we go to the next topic. You remember something? Dan Kelly has been paid 120 grand. It's actually 119 and change, close to 120, by the Republican Party, both state and federal, to advise on fake electors. to advise on fake electors. And he got 40 grand of it after he announced for the Supreme Court. And he got his last disclosed paycheck in December. In December. I mean, look, let me be very, very blunt. I do not know if he's continuing to be paid by them. He doesn't appear to have any time to do private law work in his firm. I don't know what clients he has. I'm going to pose a question to Dan Kelly right now in the air, and you can call him and keep asking him. Are you still getting money from the Republican Party today? Did you get any paycheck in January? And if he says no paycheck, was it denominated a fee or a consulting fee? There's a lot of weasel words. Are you still getting it now in March? If you get on the Supreme Court, will they retain you while you're on the Supreme Court? You know, you laugh at that. You go, well, of course he can. Why not? Where's the code of conduct? Where's anything? There's nothing. There's nothing. You know, he got almost 120 grand to help them cook up the fake electors, went around the state with Gableman. So actually his fee could probably be loaded into the fee, the $2.5 million. And as you say, it's going to go over three and it may go over four. This is a lot of money. This is a lot of money. You can't have a Supreme Court justice who's paid like that. Supreme Court justice has to be able to support himself. He should disclose if he's still getting money. And $2.5 million so far, and the certainty of over $3 million, the likelihood possibly over four, is not chump change. Yes, the budget is 90 plus billion. But you shouldn't have appropriations like that without they're being voted on by legislators and having the governor have a chance to veto it. But what they have cooked up, because absolute power corrupts absolutely, is that the speaker has a slush fund. And he can just order the writing of taxpayer-funded checks for what he, in his sole discretion, for the sole discretion of a handful of the leaders, his buddies, think is somehow in the public interest. This is not in the public interest. There's a great decision that was issued yesterday by Eli Lilly. They said that they are going to limit the out-of-pocket insulin costs for anybody to $35 a month, which is exactly what Joe Biden wanted. Right now, under the Inflation Reduction Act, is limited to $35 a month for Medicare patients. Biden wanted it for everybody. The Republicans stuck a knife in it. They said, no, but not on Medicare. They can pay whatever they're supposed to pay, which has been in the past hundreds of $700, $600, $500, $800 a month. Hey, but Republicans, remember something. They're guys that get what's called type 1 diabetes when they're kids. You understand that? And they're living with diabetes since they're 10 years old. And they have to what? Come up with $35 a month under Biden's plan, or what? $700 a month under what some of these characters are charging? That just isn't right. The Republicans continue to try to limit anything that helps people. Biden's plan was insulin was discovered 100 years ago. There have been improvements. That's great. These people, it costs $10. $10 to make that's the cost. $35 a month is 3.5 times that. Okay. This is a basic medication. This isn't just like a statin or something. This is something where these people will die. They'll end up having their pancreas eat itself if they don't have insulin. So Eli Lilly, good for you guys. Good for you. $35 a month, no matter who you are, no matter how young, but they're the only one. How about the others, guys? How about it? Just do the right thing. The Republican Party did not do the right thing. And the Republican Party very seldom does the right thing. The present Republican Party. That was not always true in the past. We're going to a quick break. Listen, I see you on the line. Do not hang up. I will get back to the lines immediately after the break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Right to the lines, in order. Don't hang up. I'm going to start with Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Gene, what's in your mind?
Thank you so much for taking my call, Matt. Great show as usual. This is my personal biased opinion based on everything I've watched for the last 10, 15 years live. Our state of Wisconsin cannot afford to have a suspected contributor to fraud and abuse sitting on our most highest court in Wisconsin. We need to clean out the infectious virus of fraud and fascist behaviors that have overtaken our state, taken away our governor's powers, because we've all voted for the governor, the attorney general, the top heads of state that require the vote of all of us. And, you know, I really, when you think about it, the Green Bay sweep that affected the capital of the United States of America, who thought of that name? And where did it come from, folks? We had McCarthyism. We got to stop this kind of behavior, and it all starts with us. And thank you so much, Matt, for letting me voice my opinion, because I'm frustrated, and we all got to work together because we need to clean up our state. Thank
right.
you very much, Matt.
I appreciate your passion, Gene, and I think you put your finger on something, and that's this. The first thing we can do is vote April 4th for Janet Protasiewicz. Because quite frankly, if you have a Supreme Court justice in Dan Kelly, who took $120,000 from a party that he says he won't recuse himself in front of, then went around the state looking for fraud and claiming he didn't find it, and then advising them on fake electors, you can't have that on the Supreme Court, not on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Going right to the lines, Ethan of Racine, my friend. Thanks for calling, Ethan. What's on your mind today?
Hello. Hello. I want to speak to the fact that, you know, I voted Democrat most of my life. Obviously, I voted correctly first time. I voted for John Anderson because Jimmy Carter was destroying the country, even though I love Jimmy Carter. Great guy. I'd rather have Jimmy Carter every day of the week than the scumbag we have that I voted for twice because I thought I was helping black. No, I was hurting black people. Voting for Barack Obama, a scumbag, but a really intelligent scumbag, meaning well. And the only reason I'm talking to you right now is because of Barack Obama, because I have this phone, and this is his phone, the Obama phone. So, you know, I'm happy with liberals. I'm ecstatic by Republicans. Republicans are great, and the left wing are pure evil. And there are three parties in this country, and people have to understand that we need truth. Truth is important.
Okay, Ethan, let me break in on this for a second. There's a certain lack of nuance in your speech that doesn't inspire confidence. Barack Obama is not a scumbag. He's a good man, and he is a good president. Did he do things that I disagreed with? Sure. But that's uncalled for. Secondly, Jimmy Carter was a good man. You voted for John Anderson. Okay. Pat Lucey, by the way, was his vice presidential candidate. And Pat Lucey was a friend of mine, was a great governor, Democratic of Wisconsin. Republicans are not great. Some are great. Abraham Lincoln was great. And quite frankly, Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger are great. Donald Trump is not great. Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, they're not great. The truth of the matter is that both parties are going through a realignment. And so I think what you sound like is, it sounds to me, and this happened to a lot of people back around 1980, they had been Democrats, and then they switched over, and especially when Reagan came along, and they stayed with his side. Well, Reagan right now wouldn't be treated well by the Republican Party. He's the one who sat down with Tip O'Neill and said, let's save Medicare and so forth. And so it's a different part. They're both different parties. The Republican Party went from being the most liberal party in the history of this country under Abraham Lincoln to now a party of Trump. And the Democratic Party went from becoming a slaveholding party in the 19th century to now so far to the left on identity politics and the Islamo left that we can't have that. I am a Democrat's Democrat. I am what's called a blue dog or yellow dog Democrat. I'm a Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy Democrat, and I always will be. And I'm happy to reach out to Republicans of good faith. I think Liz Cheney is that way, and I think Adam Kinzinger is that way. But we have got to come together as a country, and I don't call any president scumbags, any of them. The worst president in the history of the United States, of course, was James Buchanan in the 1850s. Trump, I think, is second. I think that probably Harding was third. I'm not going to get into poli-sci. But anyway, you're always welcome to call, Ethan. All points of view are welcome, but we can't misstate history. You're not woke on the left or the right if you don't know history. And the truth of the matter is, your description of Barack Obama is wrong. It's not accurate. Okay. To my callers, thanks for calling, as always. But now I want to talk about Ukraine. This is extremely important. Vladimir Putin gave an interview yesterday with Russian state TV. And he said, and he's a crafty lying son of a gun. He goes, quote, Russia is facing breakup in the near future. I'm quoting now. The population will be divided into several nations. And if the West manages to make Russia collapse and assume total control, and people will be distributed among different nations. He's doing this to try to get them to continue to think he's being attacked by the West. But that is as draconian, that is as severe a thing as I've ever heard a guy say. Now, let's take a look at the reality. The city of Kherson was the second largest city in Ukraine. It was captured by the Russians early, now they're driven out. The Ukrainian and other witnesses have gone in. There were 20 torture chambers in which the Russians applied electric shock and waterboarding. 1,000 witnesses came forward to say they were tortured. The Russians used to say, get a guy or a woman, they'll say, I'll beat the Ukrainian out of you, and beat the hell out of them until they said they weren't Ukrainian anymore. Then they would throw them in a cell, bleeding, and make them, with their blood, write out Russian poetry. Now, let me say something. I took a Russian literature course in college and a Russian history course. They don't have to make me do it in my own blood. Pushkin's poetry is very good. Much of it is not good, of the other poetry. These clowns have forgotten their history, their cultural history. Tell you something else. The Germany and Switzerland are slowballing aid to Ukraine. Switzerland, because they are neutral, is the site that Germany uses to make its ammunition. And they shrug their shoulders and say, well, we can't give you any ammunition because Switzerland won't export it because they are neutral. Ramzan Kadyrov, who's the jihadist from Chechnya, just came out and says, and this is a direct quote, it is, quote, it is necessary to deal with all participants who are Ukrainian when they sabotage Russia in the most severe way, as harshly and even cruelly as possible. We must start to kill everyone, even their families. This is a war without rules. That's the that's Ramzan Kadyrov, jihadist, Islamic terrorist that Putin has brought in. Putin continues to kill anybody who he thinks is even slightly disloyal or whom he can blame for something he's done himself. Let me tell you the most recent one. There was a Russian-born Swiss doctor, and this is a woman who is Dr. Natalia Tibolt-Kondratieva, And she was used to deliver Putin's two secret children, secret babies. His mistress is Alina Kabaeva. She's a gymnast. I've seen her. She's an attractive woman. She's also a contortionist. And I'm going to tell you something she does, and you tell me if you can do it. I can't do it. She can put the soles of her feet right up against her ears. Can you do that? Make believe that the soles of your feet are headphones and put them right up, flat up against your ears. She has rubber bones. I have no idea why Putin was attracted to her, but she bore him two children. Well, this poor Swiss woman who was born in Russia, is a doctor, was murdered 4 days before it was publicly disclosed that she delivered these kids, and then somebody leaked their location. She didn't leak the location. Putin will murder anybody who, A, he thinks is disloyal to him. He didn't think that she was disloyal, but B, silence her, and then she can't say that he has two kids. He doesn't want it to be known that he has two, I guess you call them illegitimate kids. This guy is very, very sick. Several dozen high-ranking defense and energy and military executives in Russia have been murdered. Two of them with their wives and daughters, one of them outside of Moscow, one of them in Spain. People have been murdered in Monaco. People have been murdered all over the place. The Sea of Japan, fall over the side of the boat. They said that one guy died of asphyxiation while he was riding as a passenger in a car. He was asphyxiated. There's a thug in the back seat, garroted him. You know, nobody in the Russian hierarchy is listening to this, but if you were, how much brains does it take for you to kill Putin? Because you may be next. You may be next. There was a great suggestion in an editorial in the paper the other day, and I'm going to reiterate it. I think it was a great suggestion. We have to step up because Germany is faithless. Germany is deliberately slowballing aid to Ukraine. France isn't much better. Britain has been great. We've been great. Well, here's a couple of things. This editorial suggested that we just blast in the equivalent of Radio Free Moscow, even though they'll try to block it, that Vladimir Putin, back 20 years ago, when he was first running for president 23 years ago, personally with his thugs, blew up apartment buildings in Moscow and killed over 300 people, many of them elderly in bed, and blamed it on the Chechens, then said, just give me control of the country and I'll go in and take care of it. Yeltsin let him do it. He went in and he killed a lot of Chechens. But he's the one that did it. And he kills any journalist who reports that. The United States should publicize that much more heavily all over Russia. Secondly, Ukraine right now looks like it may have to withdraw from Bakhmut because they are killing five Russians for every Ukrainian, but they don't have that many Ukrainians. Get them jets and get them HIMAR missiles long range. It's going to take them time to train on the jets. Start the process. Start the process. And the final thing I would say is this. Russia, in the viewpoint of the civilized world, cannot be permitted to continue as a nation. Now, they have nuclear weapons. I understand it. We don't want to start it. I understand it. But we can be doing a lot more to arm them, arm the Ukrainians, and hit the Russians so that even in Crimea, they are under attack. You cannot have a war where one side civilians are routinely bombed and the other side civilians are not bombed. When Germany bombed London, Manchester, Birmingham, and Liverpool in 1940, they killed more civilians than British soldiers died in the whole Second World War. And then Britain and the United States went back and they bombed Germany. And I don't think that's great, but it happened. Hiroshima got bombed, Nagasaki. This is modern warfare, and Ukraine is being slowly destroyed. The Ruskies cannot be permitted to continue. They are not a civilized nation. They are a terror nation. We're going to the break. Do not hang up. I'll get you. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines, but I'm going to leave you with one thing on Ukraine. Putin's number two, Dmitry Medvedev, who in the past had been president himself, said yesterday, quote, "We may have to push back the borders of Poland to find peace," end quote. The last time they pushed back the borders of Poland was during World War II, and they slaughtered over 30,000 Polish prisoners of war, officers and enlisted men. The Republican character is a savage character. They cannot be permitted to continue. And we can't risk nuclear war. I understand it. But they are savages, and they should be treated like savages. Going to the lines, Mike of Cedarburg, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Mike.
Well, a little background. My son is in the Czech Republic right now. He's coaches American football there. And last year, their practice field is right next to the airbase. And he says, it seems like they got three times more training flights this year than they did last year. And all the people around there says, that's the Ukrainians. So the Czech Republic uses Gripen fighters, which is a very, very capable fighter aircraft. It's
right.
A match for anything we have. And that's what I told my son. Hopefully, Sweden's giving them Gripens. If we don't want to give them F-16s, give them Gripens. Because as far as I'm concerned, give them whatever they need. Give them F-15s, as far as I'm concerned.
Good for you, Mike, and God bless your son and over there and keep him from danger. The Czechs are great. Czechoslovakia, until Slovakia split off, but they're still very friendly. It's the Czech Republic now. They used to be called Bohemia. If you read Sherlock Holmes' books and they talk about Bohemia, they're talking about Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic. But you're absolutely right, and you know what it's going to have to take. It's going to have to take Joe Biden signaling to them, telling them, send your planes to Ukraine, and we will make it up in F-16s from the United States. And he can easily do that. There's two things holding him back. Germany and France are one thing. Both of them are very, very leery about getting involved further in Ukraine, largely because, think about it, each of them invaded Russia and killed a lot of people. Napoleon did from France in the early 19th century. Until winter bogged them down. And then Hitler did millions of people in the 1940s. So both of them are leery. I don't care if they're leery or not. Get out of my face. Let's get on with helping Ukraine. But the other thing is he's being stabbed in the back by the Republican Party, by Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Paul Gosar. Kevin McCarthy is sucking along. And even DeSantis is starting to mouth that way. Trump, of course, is a Putin agent. He's on the take from Putin. Pompeo is that way. So what he's doing is what Joe is doing is he's cautious. Far be it from me to advise him how to, you know, step on the gas a little bit on this. But Dick or Mike, rather, you're absolutely right. And I salute your son for his service over there. You're absolutely right. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Dick.
Well, it's funny, too, the Republican Party. All these people are morphing right back to whatever Trump says, they're backing it. First of all, like, for instance, I guess if I was talking about no money to Ukraine and I was backing the Russians, I'd want to talk about the border, too. He's trying to move everything to the border, the border, the border again. What did he really do with that? He built a wall that's falling down as we speak. He never did anything except run troops to the borders every other year during off election years and grandstanded and looked ridiculous. There was never any definitive program about immigration. What about a
right? No, I understand,
state?
But we're talking about Ukraine right now, but you've identified it correctly, that they're trying to divert attention somewhere else. But the truth of the matter is, this is something that cannot be permitted to stop, and the Republican Party is doing its best to make a campaign issue out of it, and it's wrong. Thanks a lot for calling. I want to get to one other issue before we come to the end of the show, and this is really unbelievable. In Florida, there's a state senator named Blaze Ingaglia. That's his name, Blaze Ingaglia. And he has put in a bill to decertify the Democratic Party. I'm not kidding. And the idea would be that it would no longer appear in any ballot, presidential or otherwise, and that all the people who are registered as Democrats, remember, in this state, Wisconsin, you don't register either way. You can go in and vote in either primary. You can only vote in the one primary that time, but you don't have to be registered. In Florida and a lot of other places, you do. So this clown, the idea is that they will decertify the Democratic Party, not permit it to be on any ballot, and then send everybody a letter. And you go, all right, you were registered as a Democrat. They've been legislated out of existence. And so therefore, we have you down as an independent. But if you want to become a Republican, here's the way to do it. That has Putin all over it. That has Xi of China all over it. That has commie government all over it. Now, he's a freak, obviously. It's a freak party down there in Florida under DeSantis. I would think that the six tarantulas on the U.S. Supreme Court wouldn't permit it. I would think that Florida voters wouldn't permit it. But look what they have permitted. But if it's come to the point, I said before, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. The cat has grown, and the cat's feet are getting bigger, and they're making some noise. But fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. Here's another clown. Who in God's name, Republican or Democrat, would think that he could put in a bill to decertify the other party? And he goes, well, the Voting Rights Act has been basically gutted by the Supreme Court, whom I refer to as the six tarantulas, and so we can do whatever we want. Independent legislature theory. And there is no limit to what these people are doing. And there's no limit to what they will do. So democracy creeps back on little cat's feet. Get Janet Pro to say what's in there. Let's hold Wisconsin anyway. Get rid of gerrymandering here. And then race by race, foot by foot, congressional race by congressional race, Senate race by Senate race, take the country back. This is a fight between commie government and American democracy. It is not a fight between conservative and liberal. Conservative has no meaning anymore. Blaze Ingaglia or Blaze Ingaglia down there is not a conservative. What he proposes is commie government. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great show as always. Great callers. Some of them anyway. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.